everybody. And to all you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. I just want to acknowledge that you all do really important, sometimes thankless work. And I honor you and I bless you today. I've been thinking about commandments this week, and about how ingrained they are in our Christian tradition, for better or for worse. And I'll admit that I've had some struggles around commandments in my life, and I want to admit that I still do. And if you're of a certain age, and if you grew up in a church, I'll bet one of the first things you had to memorize in Sunday school were the Ten Commandments. Of course, I'm making an assumption that your experience was similar to mine, so you'll pardon me if I'm wrong about that. But I've got a hunch that if the Big Ten weren't the first thing that you had to learn by rote, that they weren't far behind. Thou shalt and thou shalt not seem to be the lessons that the church found super important to drill into my head from early on, and in fact, it seemed to me like they were the whole point of the church. Here's a list of what you need to do and definitely must not do in order to save your eternal soul. Your ticket to heaven, your get out of jail card free from hell were wrapped into one tidy package on some stone tablets that Charlton Heston brought down from a lightning-struck mountaintop. See, Heston and Moses and the Ten Commandments were all mixed up in my childhood consciousness, and they were all equally impressive and equally scary. Jesus was there somewhere, too. This was, I don't know if it was how the message was delivered or if it was the way I heard the message, but it was confusing and it wasn't really helpful. Not for me anyway. Especially not helpful in the world in which I grew up. A small town in Iowa that was encompassed by cornfields as far as the eye could see and completely unbounded to the world by that TV set that sat in pride of place in our living room and always seemed to be on. And that little black and white screen morphed over the course of the decade into a big color console. And it brought into my life the first rocket launches, the moon landings, assassinations, Vietnam, Woodstock, Richard Nixon, many other things, along with Charlton Heston. Somehow the Ten Commandments didn't seem quite as scary as the world grew scarier. They also didn't seem as important, frankly. I had a hunch that the commandments were important. I just couldn't see how they meshed with the world as I knew it. The first of the Big Ten Commandments are about how God wants to be related to. Know that God is God and that God deserves our respect and our undivided loyalty and that we must not make any graven images. Then we're commanded to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the final six commandments can be read as a set of moral values put in place to keep us unruly human beings from running roughshod over one another. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery or steal or lie. Don't covet, which is a really interesting commandment because it means don't even think about doing all those other things. And, you know, whether one believes in a literal reading of the account in the book of Exodus Or if one subscribes to a more allegorical take on things, regarding these readings as God-inspired, written down by humans, or if one even takes a more skeptical view of the commandments than that and sees them as moral, ethical rules created by humanity to preserve social order, well, no matter what your view of these commandments, I don't think anybody would argue that these are unimportant rules. Whether you believe that God instituted them or that they were created by humanity, you probably believe that it's more than just a good idea not to kill anybody or to steal or to lie. And you may even think it's even a better idea that no one kills you or lies to you or steals from you. And if you have children, I'll bet you hope that they'll honor you. And if you have or have had parents, you probably did your best to honor them. The coveting part is a little trickier now because coveting is more insidious. I mean, what's the harm of a little envy, really? Especially today, in the face of Instagram and Facebook posts of other people's success and happiness, we know we shouldn't be jealous, but it seems kind of harmless. Who else does my jealousy hurt but me? Well, indeed. Who else does my jealousy hurt but me? These commandments, thou shalt not covet, they may be the subtlest and most insightful of the Big Ten, and maybe the hardest to use as guiding principles. I think that's how we talk about and see commandments these days, if we think of them at all, as principles that guide our actions as we go about living our lives. In this time, in this world where we find ourselves living, there are so many guiding principles available to us. I did a quick internet search, naturally, and the first thing that popped up was a list. Here's what the list said. Work smart and hard. Always ask for feedback. Set high but attainable goals and tell people about them. Earn everything. Be open and honest with everyone, especially yourself. Confidence overcomes most shortcomings except ego. Find your passion or find something else to do. What goes around comes around. You can learn something new from everyone and every situation. Get at least 1% better every day. Be okay with worst case scenarios. This is one writer's version of 12 commandments for the 21st century. It's not a bad list by any means. It's business oriented, but there's nothing wrong with that, especially if your life centers around your business. And if your interests lean more towards, say, nutrition or exercise or mindfulness or self-sufficiency or Buddhist thought or Christian spirituality, or ecological care for the planet, well, I guarantee you, there's a list for that too. We human beings love lists. Since the first written words appeared, we've been making them. It's almost as if we have a need for them. So there's no shortage of lists of guiding purposes, guiding principles floating around us. And another feature of the world that we live in, where liberty is held to be the highest good, is that we each individually get to pick for ourselves which guideposts we want to follow. Take what you need and leave the rest may be the meta guiding principle, the one that we all love to subscribe to. It's very freeing, and at the same time, it can be overwhelming. Not that I would want to go back to a more rigid moral time, but things must have been simpler back when there were only 10 commandments to worry about. But maybe not. I mean, we've got this great story from Genesis where God commands the first human beings to not do only one thing. God said, you can eat of the fruit of any tree you want, except for one. Don't eat the fruit of that one tree. And of course, that's exactly what they did. Of course they did. Because that's how we human beings seem to operate. We get to do what we want in this life, for better and for worse. Because that's part of the story too. Right? That's how we were created. At least that's how our story tells it. We're created perfect in the image of God, given one rule and complete freedom to follow that rule or not. Adam and Eve chose freedom over obedience. They paid the price. And it's interesting to me that in the next book in our story, in the book of Exodus, God came back with 10 commandments. Maybe God thought we'd try a little harder if we had more rules to follow. Beats me, but it doesn't seem like that's worked out quite so well either. So, commandments. Make of them what you will. I encourage us all to follow these guidelines. The world would be a better place if we all did. But it's totally up to each one of us to decide how to behave. God will make sure. No. God made sure of that when God created us in God's own image. It is our nature to be free. Then why do we so often feel bound up? I don't think that the commandments or the laws of society or government oversight are the problem here. I think it's an inward problem for most of us. And I'm talking about me, of course. Maybe you can relate. There's never been a time in history when people have had greater freedom, and yet so many of us feel trapped in our small selves. But wait, who's this we see coming? It's Jesus, and he's got yet another commandment for us. And here's what he says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Could this be the hardest commandment of all? It may be. And it may come as no surprise to you that I believe that if we can follow this commandment or this guiding principle, whatever language you like to use, that following the way of God's love will set us free. And I also believe that following Jesus' way of unconditional love won't only set each one of us individually free, I believe it will set us all free. So, does that sound naive? Pollyanna-ish? Unrealistic? Well, I know that to some it does, And I know to the younger me, it did. How can living a life that abides in God's love rather than in the fear of God's judgment change me, let alone change the world? How can this all work out? What is the mechanism that will set me free and bring me joy? Well, it's not a mechanism. That's the problem with most commandments, at least as we have come to understand them. Do these 10 things and you will receive these end results. Don't do them and, well, you're screwed. But that's not how God's love works. Jesus uses a very interesting word to describe how love brings joy, which in this passage, at least, is our destination, joy. He says that we can abide in it. We can make it our home. In fact, love already is our home. All we have to do is learn how to live in it. So this can be where we start, at the destination. And I know you hear it from this pulpit almost every Sunday, from Jimmy, Mary, and me. We want you to know that you're beloved, worthy of love, more than worthy of love, and that you already have everything you need to love one another. Now, if you have a hard time believing that, I understand. Maybe believing it isn't that important, though. Maybe the important thing is to try to live into receiving and giving God's love, even if you can't fully quite buy into the idea. Give it a try. Remember, you're free to either follow or not. Who doesn't want their joy to be complete? I know I do. But I also know that we will never know until we try it.